All right. So if we'll open up to Jeremiah 6. I'm just glad she does it. I can pass them out. Here, just give them to me. I'll give this one to Skip, even. That's the kind of guy I am.
Well, okay. Give me two, and I'll give one to April.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll go put the rest of them back there.
Let me take them back.
Oh, no, I can't. I'll just put them back here on the... That's what I would do. I'm sure there are some things I forgot, so I'll look here real quick. Some of these people we can't ask about because others are not here. So, pantry item, aluminum foil and saran wrap. And dinner Sunday is next Sunday. So remember that. I had forgotten that. Okay. So if we'll open up to Jeremiah chapter 6. I'll go back to verse 16 and we'll kind of catch up from where we left off last week. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. We'll read down through verse 19. It says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it." We have, of course, the idea of, first of all, finding God's path and walking in it. But these people, even though they knew the path, said, we will not walk in God's ways. We see over and over in the book of Jeremiah how rebellious these people were. They were just not going to listen to God anymore. It wasn't what they wanted. They would go through some motions that we'll see in a moment, but that was about it. And God said, I have set watchmen over you. And the idea of people, you know, standing on the walls of the city looking for the enemy to come. And the watchmen would be listening to the sound of the trumpet, but people would not listen. So because of that, he says, I'm going to bring calamity on this people. He says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring calamity on you because you're not listening to the warnings. The warnings are there, but you've rejected it. So he says, this is what's going to happen. Verses 20 and 21, and we're going to spend quite a little time on these two verses. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Now, these people were going to great lengths to get their material that they were going to burn, the aromas, like frankincense, he says, it's coming all the way from Sheba, which was over 1,000 miles away. It was like due south. So they were going to enormous lengths here to get their frankincense to burn. And then he says the sweet came from a far country. This was probably India, which is even further away. So they did all of this work to get their things to burn, but he said, your burnt offerings are not acceptable to me. And the reason was, that's all they were concerned about, was just these external things. Well, we're going to get these things to burn, but it's not going to change how we live. We're going to still continue to rebel and reject God's word and go after other gods. Is the door stuck or something? She can't get in.
I think I'll open that door over again.
It's probably not unlocked all the way.
Oh, maybe not.
Turned up far enough.
Yeah, no, it's not turned enough. It's still just a little bit locked. Well, there went our song leader.
If you turn the ball away, then it catches and
it.
Yeah, now he's locked out, so now we don't have a song leader.
Doors we used to have up here on our rock building were like that.
Is that right?
Janitor is pretty good about getting it. Every once in a while, it would lock. And what's so funny is the kids would stand there and just pull. And pull. Now, you know, they're locked. They're locked all the time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so they'll still reach up and pull. And then all they've got to do is buzz in.
Right.
But anyway, it just pull. If I pull on it long enough, it'll come open.
We may have lost two, actually.
Oh, well.
Well, that's right. That's true, Skip. Oh, well. Yeah, that's always a...
Roars back there. Why don't you open it? Or why doesn't the buzzer work?
Hello.
Well, we're glad you made it.
Yeah, I'm glad you let me in.
Well, it was iffy there for a while.
I said it was good you had that door open.
Well, we are in Jeremiah 6, verses 20 and 21. I just mentioned about the frankincense and sweet cane. They were very, very concerned about their external rituals, but that was all it meant to them. It was just a ritual. You know, they would get their frankincense and burn it, and they would get their sacrifices, and they would offer them, but it didn't mean anything to them. It was just an empty ritual. And because of that, he was not accepting their worship. So I want us to read several places in the Old Testament that talk about this. First of all, Isaiah chapter 1. Let's go to the very first chapter of Isaiah. We'll begin reading in verse 11. Isaiah 1 verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. the new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They're a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I'll not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. That's what they weren't doing. They were doing these sacrifices. And remember, Isaiah prophesied like 100 years or so before Jeremiah. And that's the way especially the northern kingdom was doing. That's what they were doing. They were making the sacrifices, you know, rams and cattle and lambs and goats and stuff like that. They were making the sacrifices, but they were still doing evil. They were oppressing people. They were not caring about the fatherless and widows. So their daily lives were not being affected by their worship. And that's what Isaiah and that's what Jeremiah is condemning them for, is because they were just concerned about these external things. And it wasn't changing them at all. And so Jeremiah and Isaiah are telling them, sacrifice without obedience is worthless. If you're not going to obey God, if you're not going to do what He desires of you on a daily life, your personal lives, then your sacrifices, all you're doing is just burning things on an altar. He says, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to answer your prayers. Nothing. He says, because your burnt offerings are not acceptable, I'm going to lay stumbling blocks before the people. He says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay stumbling blocks before you because you need to learn about sincerity. See, that was their problem. They weren't sincere. They were just phony. And even all the way to the very last Old Testament prophet, Malachi, many of the people were still doing the same thing. And Malachi was telling them the same thing, that their sacrifices were just a waste of time. In other words, their external religion, the things they did outwardly, like sacrifices, didn't mean anything to God if they weren't going to obey Him. See, these people were still doing sacrifices, but at the same time, they were worshiping other gods. So they were trying to do both. And God just says, that's hypocrisy. You know, make up your mind what you're going to do. Don't pretend to be following me by making these little sacrifices. They just don't mean anything. And that same principle has not changed. Remember in John chapter 4 when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. He says, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that mindset has not changed. God still wants the spirit. He still wants the right attitude. He still wants the right mindset when you worship. And you can't live, as some old-time preacher said, you can't live for the devil Monday through Saturday and then try and live for God on Sunday. God just doesn't accept any of that whatsoever. And so that was the problem that these people had. It was like a phony religion. So he goes on in verse 22 and says, thus says the Lord, behold, a people comes from the north country. There's that phrase again that we've heard many times already. And a great nation will be raised from the farthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold on bow and spear. They're cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses as men of war set in array against you, O daughter of Zion. This is what they're going to do. And the word spear there is the word that we would translate today, scimitar. You know, the big curved blades that a lot of people in the Middle East still have. And that's what these people were using. So he says they're going to come again from the north, like we've already talked about. It's going to be a great nation in the sense of that they are terrifying. I'm going to send a terrifying nation against you. He says they're cruel and they're not going to have any mercy whatsoever. And they didn't. They were a horrible people. But both nations that God sent against his people, the Assyrians against the northern tribes and the Babylonians against the southern tribes, were horrible people. I mean, no mercy, cruel, vicious. And those are the people that God chose to punish his people. He says, we've heard the report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us. Pain as of a woman in labor. Do not go out into the field nor walk by the way because of the sword of the enemy. Fear is on every sigh. And we just get this terrible picture of the bloodshed and the horrors that's going to come upon them. And the people are describing it like our hands are growing feeble. You know, we're feeling anxiety and pain. Fear is everywhere because of what is happening. Well, then he finishes the chapter. It says, O daughter of my people, dress in sackcloth and roll about in ashes. Make mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the plunderer will suddenly come upon us. It says, dress in sackcloth and ashes, because that's what you're going to have to do. It says, I've set you as an assayer and a fortress among my people that you may know and test their way. Now, this, in verse 27, God is addressing Jeremiah. And he says, Jeremiah, I have set you, Jeremiah, as an assayer and a fortress that you may know and test their way. That's what God is wanting Jeremiah to do. Test the people's way. He says, they're all stubborn rebels, walking as slanderers. They are bronze and iron. They're all corruptors. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. The smelter refines in vain, for the wicked are not drawn off. People will call them rejected silver, because the Lord has rejected them. See, this is a... He's been trying to refine them, like you would in a smelter. You know, when you're trying to refine gold or silver, you want to get all the impurities out, and you do that with a hot fire. And God is likening His people to like gold or silver that he's trying to get the impurities out of, but he says it's not working. He says it's not working. The bellows are blowing fiercely. He says, I've cranked up the heat. But he says it's in vain. The wickedness, are not being drawn off. The impurities are not being drawn out of the gold, the silver. So therefore, they're going to be called rejected silver. Rejected because it still has impurities in it. And they're rejected because God has rejected them. Because God has rejected them. Well, that ends like the second. Remember Jeremiah, there's like six big, I don't know if you want to call them speeches, discourses, whatever, in the book. And that ends his second one at the end of what we call chapter 6. And he has told them repeatedly in this second discourse that he's going to send a terrible people. They're going to come from the north to try and get rid of their wickedness. All right? But it's a punishment. He's already tried to some degree to get rid of the impurities, but it hasn't worked so far. So he's going to send in this merciless, vicious nation riding on horses with bows and swords, and the punishment they are going to give will be great. And he says this is going to happen. So he begins with the third discourse, then in chapter 7. Says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. And probably this is, this particular speech or whatever, is we have Jeremiah at one of the gates of the city of Jerusalem. Remember, that's where Jeremiah is in Jerusalem. And it's probably one of the feast days, because one of the feast days is when all the people is going to be coming to Jerusalem. We have no idea which one or anything. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand in the gate and tell these people this. I want them to hear this message. What's the message? Verse 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Or in one word, repent. They needed to change their ways thoroughly. I think the Hebrew word used here is a thorough change, a thorough amending. So they were to amend their ways and their doings, because they needed to. And he says, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. That's what they needed to do. So he goes on and says, do not trust in these lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. He says those are lying words. He says don't trust people who say God is not going to destroy Jerusalem and the people because the temple is here. He says don't trust people that tell you that, because God is going to destroy Jerusalem and the temple. So don't believe that just saying the temple of the Lord is here, that that's going to protect you. Jeremiah says it's not. So it's not going to help that the temple of the Lord is there. It's not going to make any difference whatsoever. He's going to allow Babylonia to come in and destroy the city and destroy the temple. God's going to let that happen. So he says, for if you thoroughly amend your ways, there that is, and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods in your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. That's what he tells them they need. So don't trust in lying words, and then completely mend your ways. How do they need to amend their ways? Well, execute judgment, be fair, don't oppress the less fortunate, like the strangers and fathers and widows, don't shed innocent blood, don't walk after other gods. He says those are things that you need to do to totally amend your ways. And they had almost gotten to the point where they were kind of smug. They had got to the point where they thought, well, if we do these sacrifices there in the temple, because the temple's here, God isn't going to do anything to us, so we can do and we can live immoral lives. We can oppress the stranger and the fatherless and widows. God says no. And it's really interesting, kind of the last thing here this morning. When you look at, this is about 600 B.C., time-wise. If you go back to 600 B.C., and even before, you're not going to find other laws from other nations that specifically told their people to be concerned about the strangers and the fatherless and the widows and, you know, the unfortunate. God's law was very unique in the fact that His people were supposed to be concerned about other people, about the unfortunate. You just didn't find that in laws of other nations. His law was very unique. But the message in this third discourse is, amend your ways thoroughly. It was absolutely essential that they do that. God was not obligated to preserve and protect Jerusalem and the temple. God wanted to destroy it. He was going to destroy it. So don't put your hope and trust in anything but Jehovah. So a really great lesson from Jeremiah, and we'll see in the rest of this chapter how relevant this material is. Thank you very much for being